Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the ENCE second quarter 2013 results conference call. Ignacio Colmenares, CEO of the company, will conduct the presentation. Please, sir, go ahead.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much for joining us this afternoon. I am here today with our CFO, Diego Maus, and our IR, Rafa Rico. We are very proud to present on slide number 2 one of the best results in the history of ENCE, despite lower prices in pulp than in 2010 and lower net prices in energy because of the new regulation. Ladies and gentlemen, pulp market is and will remain strong, driven by good demand and benefiting from good prices. Demand and supply are balanced. Our main market, tissue market, is growing, mainly in Asia, but also in Europe, and strongly in southern part of Europe, and the global pulp demand is growing worldwide. As you can see on slide number 3, these are historic results for ENCE. We have not only doubled the figure obtained in first half 2012, we also have increased our pulp sales by 10%, and increase our energy sales by 30%. And we have been controlling our cash cost. As you can see on slide number 4, we have been able to increase our sales in volume by 5%. We have also increased our market share in Europe to close to 16%. And Europe is the most profitable market for us due to the low freight rates. As you can see on the pie chart, ENCE exports 85% of the volume and 70% goes to Europe. We are strong in important countries like Germany, like France, like Italy, like the Netherlands, Belgium, UK, and several countries in Scandinavia. Please turn to slide number 5. The upward trend in market prices, driven by higher pulp demand, will contribute positively to performance in coming quarters. The reason for good prices of around $800 is the strength of the demand. As you probably know, in first half 2013, the main markets grew by 1.6% in Western Europe, by 9.8% in Eastern Europe, where we have a strong market share of 40%. The market grew by 7.7% in North America and was flat in China, although the demand for eucalyptus pulp has grown. In Japan, the demand grew by 4.4% and in Asia by 6.6%. As you can see, our market is growing worldwide. And what is even more important, this market is growing despite a slow economy. On the other hand, supply remains tight. El Dorado was on stream at the beginning of this year, and at the same time, not only demand was growing, but Jari Mill in Brazil was forced to shut down, and as you probably know, this summer Tofte Mill in Norway is also closing. Montes de Plata and Maranhão will not come on stream before first half of 2014, and they will not have, and the market will not have any problem in absorbing this capacity. Please turn to slide number 6, where you can see that solid performance of energy was led by the consolidation of the new 50 megawatt power plant in Huelva. Along with a positive performance in pulp, our energy sales grew by 30%. We have been able to adjust and adapt in a new regulatory framework. Biomass is unique, is the only renewable energy fuel produced by man. The owners of a windmill cannot ask the wind to blow more. Solar energy cannot ask the sun to shine more. But we can make the tree to grow faster and to grow cheaper. And we can supply our biomass power plant with cheaper wood. Please turn to slide number 7. Because of the increase of pulp volume and control of cash cost, we have been able to push an increase of EBITDA of 43%. Cash cost of second quarter 2013 was 12 euros higher than the same quarter last year, despite 13 euros of impact of new energy taxes and the rainiest winter on record. Looking at the chart at the bottom, I would like to point out, first of all, the increase in wood costs is temporary and is due 100% to lower ratio of tons of wood per tons of pulp due to this rainy winter. For purchasing price is 1 euro lower than the same period last year. We have increased, secondly, our pulp production more than our megawatt hour production, and it's the reason of this 13 euros per ton figure higher in energy revenues. Please be so kind to turn to slide number 8. We are keeping the focus on efficiency, which will help us to restore margins after regulatory changes in energy. We still don't know the effects of the new energy reform, but efficiency is our main focus and will help us in softening the impact of the new regulations. We have already agreed with unions a reduction of 86 employees, which is a recurrent saving of more than 6 million euros per year. On top of that, we expect more than 15 million of annual savings in next 6 to 9 months from our efficiency projects. I would like to briefly explain how we are able to offset the impact of the January energy reform with the example of Huelva 50 megawatt. As you can see by the chart at bottom of the slide, on top of operating the plant more efficiently, we are buying cheaper wood after prices renegotiation. It's a good example of the unique attribute of biomass energy. We can cushion the impact of new regulations. I will not talk about slide number 9, and I'm sure you will have plenty of questions later on. And please turn to slide number 10. We are extremely satisfied with this figure of 144 million euros of leveraged cash flow from operations in first half. Have a look at the bottom of slide number 10. Thanks to all the factors I have mentioned, we had an almost 50% decrease of net corporate financial debt. 88 million euros corporate financial debt is only 0.6 times EBITDA and is the best gearing ratio of the pulp industry. Please turn now to slide number 11. I would like to add that our balance sheet was further strengthened by the issuance of the senior secured note. We no longer depend on the Spanish banking system, and we benefit now from a long-term maturity. Because of that, all our management team is focused on optimizing our operations. Before going to your questions, I would like to point out several factors. We are a more efficient company today thanks to the transformation process we started a few years ago. We produced and sold more pulp and more energy. Our cash cost is lower. ENCE has lower debt levels and a healthier balance sheet than its competitors, which we think is important in a cyclical industry. Thank you very much. We are now open to your questions.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Q&A session starts now. If you wish to ask a question, please press now 01 on your telephone keypad. Thank you. Our first question comes from Ronan Clark from Deutsche Bank. Please, sir, go ahead.
Hi there. First of all, on the pulp side, I just wanted to ask about the recent trend in the market price. Obviously, it's come off a little bit. Is that seasonal, or is that more to do with a peak in the market and new capacity, or what's your view of where it goes from here for the rest of the year?
Thank you, Ronan, for your question. Yeah, the prices in this industry normally weakens a bit during summer. A lot of pulp paper mills in Europe and on the States close for 2 or 3 weeks for holidays, and that is the reason that the demand slows a bit. And normally you have more deals done on a spot basis. That is normal. And normally after September the prices go up again. What is quite important is that this year prices went as a maximum, I would say, of 820 in June. And prices today are between 800 and 810. Then we don't see a strong go down on the prices, but a small 10 to 15 euros, and it will be temporary. Demand is strong. Demand is strong in North America. Demand is strong in Europe, as I said before. Demand is quite strong in Asia. The demand of pulp has been flat during the first half of the year in China. But what is very important for us is that the eucalyptus pulp has grown also in China. We don't see, as I mentioned before, any new mills coming on stream this autumn or this winter. Marañao mill and Montes de Plata mill will not be on the market before beginning of next year, and the demand is still growing. Then we are quite positive looking second half of this year and the year after as well.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Ronald.
Okay, so you think from September the price will be close to where it is today, or even a bit higher, maybe?
Yeah, as it was in June, I would say.
Okay. And then secondly, on the regulatory issues, it's pretty hard from where we're standing to digest it all and see what the impact might be on your earnings. Can you give us some help to understand what sort of figure it looks like at the moment?
Yeah, unfortunately, we cannot give any figure. I will explain during a couple of minutes how is the regulation. On Saturday, July 13, the government launched Real Decreto, a Royal Decree, and of the stabilization of the financials of the electrical system in Spain. But it's only a philosophy on this Royal Decree. You don't have any single figure. What we know is that they are talking about a yield for the generating companies of 7.5% pre-tax of standard investment and standard OPEX technology by technology. After Monday, July 15, they launched 11 projects of royal decrees who are under discussion today, and we think they will be approved by early September. The most important for us is the one who talks about renewables and cogeneration. The only thing we know for sure is that for the time being, the complements of efficiency are not there anymore, but the new prices for our energy will be published on ministerial orders, we believe, by October or November. Then we have August and September to talk to the administration in order to try to help them in how to develop those ministerial orders with the prices. And unfortunately, we cannot tell you anything more. And even much more larger corporations than us are saying the same. We don't have a figure of how the effect is going to be. You have a figure. There is 1.5 billion they want to cut from the renewables. Then if you believe that you are going to divide this figure by the megawatt installed, then it's 10 million euros for us. If you believe they are going to divide these 1.5 billion by the megawatt hour produced, it's 20 million euros for us on annual basis. But that's calculations. We still don't have any idea about what is going to happen. And we are very sorry to tell you that, but that is the truth.
Sure. And assuming that the new regime is approved in early September, then when would you switch to the new prices or the new framework?
Well, unfortunately, the framework is from July the 15th. July the 14th, the 13th. Then the same day, this royal decree was approved.
Okay.
Then we are going to work during 2 or 3 months with temporary prices.
Okay. Yeah. So that you're already on temporary prices.
Yeah. We are, and all the renewals are in Spain today.
Mm-hmm. And do you know how much if for example the temporary pricing was to become permanent, what that impact would be?
Well, 26 million euros, because the complements for us are 26 million euros per year today. But I think it's difficult to say if it's 26, 20 or 10, because what is very important to understand is that the government is going to recognize 7.5% of yield on standard CAPEX and standard OPEX.
Mm-hmm.
Then we strongly believe that companies like us with a big percentage of the megawatt installed who are new and are quite efficient is not going to be a strong problem. But that is my feeling. It's not sure as well. Then I prefer to don't talk more, because what we know is what I said to you now.
Okay.
Thank you very much, Ronald.
Thanks. And just to be clear, then in terms of offset, what you're talking about today is 6 million of savings from the labour agreement, plus 15 of efficiencies that are yet to be achieved. Is that correct?
Well, when the government launched in January the first energy reform, we started to work on passing those new costs to others. Then we started to negotiate with the unions. With the unions, it's today agreed.
Mm-hmm.
what we are going to save on the PL of 2013 is only 1.5 million euros. Sorry, 1.5 million euros. And next year is going to be almost 5 million euros. And 1 year after is 6 million euros, because people is leaving a big portion around summer and another portion around March next year.
Okay.
That's one thing we started to negotiate several months ago. And the same, these 15 to 20 million euros of savings is a result of everything we have been doing and working since the first reform. We are just now starting a second program of projects to reduce cost. We are not so much concerned about our capacity to reduce cost on the same way the administration is reducing the price of the energy, but it takes for us between 3 and 6 months from when you start to work on a cost reduction and when you start to see things. Then those 6 million euros of because of the reduction of number of employees, and these 15 to 20 million euros because of some cost savings are coming from all we have been doing on this first half of the year. Now we are finishing those programs and we are starting new programs.
And how much of the 15 to 20 will be in the 2013 P&L?
Just a moment, if you don't see a mistake. A maximum of 13, but trying to be not too much positive, let's say between 8 and 10.
Okay.
Okay,
right.
Because 13 is our target, but unfortunately you never get 100% of the target.
Yeah.
And let's say between 8 and 10, okay?
Okay. All right. That's very helpful indeed. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Ronald.
Our next question comes from the line of Nuno Estacio from Espírito Santo. Please, sir, go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. Just two questions, if I may. The first one is on your financial side and on the balance sheet. You seem to have already deleveraged significantly, but you have a quite comfortable position now with a bond, 7-year bond that you issued a couple of months ago. So my question would be, are you thinking about any additional investments? At some point you told us in previous conferences that you thought biomass assets would be interesting. Is this still your view, or with these regulatory risks now, you would wait until to do any acquisition? And the second question is on this slide 8 that we have been speaking about. On this expected savings of 15-20 million euros, will you have to invest a lot to get these savings out, or if the investment has already been done? Okay, so how much do you think that will have to be cut, that will have to be invested to get all these savings? Thank you.
Thank you very much, Nuno. Well, we have a good liquidity. We don't have any debt maturity till 2020. We have been deleveraging the company, and we will continue in deleveraging the company. We expect a good free cash flow also for second half of the year, and why not for next year? And we don't foresee today major investments in front of us. We have to be prudent. The regulation is changing in Spain, then today it has not changed. It has no sense, to make any acquisitions in Spain. And I think that we have to concentrate all the efforts of our management team in reducing cash cost again. And any single euro the government is going to take out from our pockets, we have to do the same with third parties. Then we prefer to stop all these due diligences we were looking in Europe and in Spain, and we have to be sure that we have again the same cash cost we have at least on the first half of this year secured from those programs. We have to know the exact figure of the energy reform in our PL, and during this time we are not going to spend a single minute in looking for other opportunities. Regarding this 15 to 20 million euros program of savings, no investments are required. Thank you, Nuno.
Thank you.
The next question comes from Bruno Bessa from BPI. Please, sir, go ahead.
Good afternoon. The first question I have is related with the pulp industry momentum. We understand that this is a seasonally weaker demand period, and this is the main reason why pulp prices are declining. But my question is, if you believe that the price hikes that have been settled for May last, which have not been passed through, if you expect them to be passed through during the second half of this year, particularly after from September onwards. My second question relates with the level of balance sheet credit lines that you have, namely in terms of factoring and confirming. If you could provide us some color on this, and also regarding your hedging policy, what is your current hedging policy in place? Thank you.
Before answering to your questions, Bruno, regarding your second question, balance sheet, we didn't understand very well what was exactly your question.
Yeah, my question is, what is the current amount of factoring and confirming credit lines? I believe that you have some 34 million euros in terms of factoring and 63 in terms of confirming for at year end 2012. My question is, if you could provide us some visibility, some color on this for the end of first half of this year.
Okay. Thank you very much, Bruno. Okay. Then regarding prices and regarding demand, the market is good. The market is strong. With this slow economy, growth in Europe of more than 3%, growth on the States of 7.7%, growth in Asia of 6%, that means the market is going well. Then there is no any reason why the prices have to decline, but these shutdowns of paper mills during summer holidays in Europe and on the States. Then we see prices around 800, 815 for July and August, and the prices will continue to go from 820 to 850 on the second half of the year. That is our vision. Regarding your question, the factoring, who was at 30 million euros. Well, you said it was at 30. I don't have this figure with me now, but the factoring is at the end of June 2013 is at 36 million euros. We are going to check now, meanwhile I answer the other questions, what was the figure at the end of 2012. And regarding confirming it is 72 million euros at the end of this first half of the year. Regarding the hedging policy, I think that we can answer that dollar-wise we are not going to do anything for the time being. And pulp, now it's 1 year we are not hedging pulp because we believe pulp is going to be strong. The fundamentals of the demand are strong, and then we don't need to cover it. Just a second, I will try to give you the figures. Okay, I will give you the figure of the factoring at the end of December 2012 after several questions. Thank you, Bruno.
Sure, thank you.
Our next question comes from Álvaro Fabián from Arcano. Please, sir, go ahead.
Hi, thank you. First of all, congratulations on your impressive results. I was looking through my notes, and last time we were discussing the previous energy reform, you mentioned that it was going to have an impact of 18 million euros on your EBITDA, more or less, and that all of that was going to be made up through cost savings. We discussed at the time some employees leaving the company. I have in my notes 150 employees and some other measures that you were taking. Are all these savings that you have told us now, these 15-20 million euros of savings to further make up for the additional energy reform, are they addition to the ones we discussed back in February? Or?
Yeah, well, I think that there is a mistake. We have never said that we were going to fire 150 employees.
Oh, sorry, maybe I took the wrong notes then. Sorry, that's what I have in my notes. I'm sorry.
Okay. Regarding well, what is happening then? As I mentioned before, I think answering to Ronald, we are not so much concerned about our capacity to reduce costs and to pass through to others what the government is cutting to us, but to the speed of doing that. That means that during this year, out of these 18 million euros of the first reform, we think that at least 13 of savings are going to be there, and on an annual basis is going to be much more for next year. And it's the same with this reform. We are now starting to reduce other costs, to reduce prices of purchasers, and it takes between 3 and 6 months to do all that. And then in the end, you have the savings on your pocket, but you have them 3 or 6 months later.
All right.
Yeah, regarding the previous question of Bruno, to confirm that confirming was 63 at the end of last year and is 72 today, and factoring is 36 and was 33 at the end of last year. Thank you, Fabian.
You're welcome.
The next question comes from Alberto Sanchez from Fidentiis. Please, sir, go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. Two questions on my side. The first of them is about pulp volumes. You provided a guidance for the full year of 1-3% growth, and in the first half, production has been growing by 4%. Do you still maintain your targets, or you think these targets might be exceeded for the full year? And the second question is if you could provide more color on the cash costs guidance for the full year, providing that you feel that wood costs are likely to come down in the second half. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much. Regarding volume, yeah, we still say that it's going to be between 1 and 3% on the full year. We are working for more, but our official guidance is 1 to 3%. Regarding your second question, if I forget this second energy reform of July, our cash cost is definitely going to be lower than on the first half of the year by several reasons. One is the production we are doing now on the wood. Second is the better performance we are having on the conversion of wood to pulp. And three is all these programs of savings we launched at the beginning of the year. Unfortunately, what I don't know is what is going to happen on the cash cost with the effect of the energy reform, because as I mentioned before, we still don't know the figures.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much.
We have no more questions.
Thank you very much, gentlemen. Look forward to meet you at the medium of October. Thank you. Bye.